Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Would you be upset if your son or daughter chose sex as a career or the sex industry? Now, the reason we're talking about this is because Steven Spielberg, his daughter did just that. Now, you don't imagine, don't you, that the rich and famous would do that. Sorry, Kev, hold on for a second. Kev keeps texting me in here. He says, after all the messing around, I missed the bloody cue to text to win. What's French for bollocks, he says. I don't know, Kev. But I do remember my French book, right? My French book was, allô, c'est Philippe Ladoux? Oui, c'est moi. Bonjour, Philippe. Bonjour, Jacques. See? I know a little bit, Kev. Quelle heure est-il? What time is it? Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir, Kev? With Miriam? I'm sure you would. All right, sorry, getting back to the topic anyway. Yes, Michaela Spielberg, the daughter, or the adopted daughter of Steven Spielberg, who he shares with his wife, Kate Capshaw, says she self-produces solo porn videos. In other words, she takes videos of herself, doing all sorts of carry-on. But anyway, the 23-year-old is also hoping to land a job as a stripper once she obtains her sex worker license. Now, remember, of course, in the United States, to work as a sex worker, you must have a license because it is legit and legal in most states. Whereas in Ireland, of course, it's illegal. Well, to be a escort or anything like that is illegal, obviously. Well, it's illegal to buy sex, not to sell it as such. The purchase of sex. But anyway, so you can't get a license. That's the bottom line in this country. In the same interview, she revealed she was sexually abused in the past and had struggled with anorexia, borderline personality disorder and alcoholism. So she had quite a lot of problems in her life. She says she's broke. And she broke the news of her new porn career to her parents over FaceTime just days ago. But they were more intrigued than upset. She said to the Sun newspaper, my safety has always been number one priority for them. She added, I actually think that once they see how far I've come from the bottom I was a year and a half ago, they're going to look at this and go, wow, we actually raised a really self-assured young lady. Now, I don't know. You know what I mean? And I mean, Michaela, who is one of Spielberg's seven children, said she doesn't want to depend on her parents to support her financially, but she won't have sex on camera out of respect for her fiancé, Chuck Pankow, who's 47 years of age. So he's quite substantially older than her, mind you. In the same interview, she spoke about her abuse that she suffered, and I don't want to get into that too much, all right? But anyway, she added, I was really out of control from the age of 11 up to about 2 years ago. And she said, I've chosen the name, the stage name, Sugar Star, for my porn career. Now, I want to ask you honestly, right? Now, Steven Spielberg, you imagine this man is a very intelligent, respectful man and respectable man. She said they're intrigued by it and support her. Now, if that was my daughter and she came home and said, you know, Dad, feck all this college carry-on, I'm going to be a stripper or I'm going into the sex industry. You know, I'm not saying I would disown her, but I think, absolutely, I would be very disappointed. Very disappointed that that's all she could do to earn a crust. I suppose it's morals, isn't it? It comes down to morals. You know, maybe I'm a bit of an old fuddy-duddy, but I certainly wouldn't. I couldn't support it. You know, I as I said, I wouldn't disown her, but I wouldn't encourage it. Now, I know there are people out there and women out there who may be burlesque strippers and they believe that's an art form. And yes, if I'm watching it, it's an art form, I suppose. But I don't want to see my daughter doing it. So, could you imagine going out to a burlesque show and your own daughter appears out on the stage? You'd be mortal. Or your own son, for that matter. Let's not make this sexist. So let me know what you think. How would you feel if your daughter, or indeed your son, I don't want to be sexist about it, but primarily it would be women that would go into the sex industry. How would you feel if your own daughter came to you and said, you know, Dad, Mom, I think I'm going into the sex industry. I'm going to be a stripper. Or, worse again, an escort. Or, worse again, a porn star. How would you feel about that? Would you be okay with it? Would you support it? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Morris!
Good evening, how are you?
Morris, I mean, do you have any daughters? You do, don't you?
I do, I have one. Yeah, she has two children.
Okay,
two
so
grandchildren,
she...
Sinead.
Okay, yeah. So Sinead comes to you at 20 years of age and says, Dad, there's good money in stripping, you know. I'm gonna go and do a bit of stripping and God knows what else. I want to be a sex worker.
Yeah, and make adult movies and get pummeled and get your face all over the screens for the wrong reasons. I heard that story breaking today and I was in shock and I was saying, Jesus Christ, it just goes to prove to you, no matter what amount of money you have, there's always somebody that's not going to be happy and they're loaded. I was in Holland many years ago with a friend of mine and he worked in one of the shipyards and Spielberg personally yacht was in to get a service.
Yeah.
Jesus, no, you want to see it.
Well, the man is a billionaire. Billionaire.
It was the size of four houses,
yeah,
all detached. It was massive. And I'm looking and I'm going, well, like, you know, he's made great films. He gave us E.T., he gave us Schindler's List, all these
Jaws,
big movies.
Jaws, all the big ones, yeah.
E.T., the whole lot, you know.
Star Wars, he was involved in Star Wars as well with Lucasfilms.
And he has seven children. Is she one of his biological children?
No, she's adopted. She's adopted.
She's one of his adopted kids who was raped or abused since the age of whatever. How did he not know that was going on?
I'm wondering, like, if I was Steven Spielberg and I had that much money, I'd say, honey, you don't need, like, if you need money, you don't need to do this.
Exactly.
So why are you doing it?
I think they probably might have given up on her because she was a low life, she was a loser, she got used and abused and seen there was no other way to make a man happy. I mean, you told me the big age gap between her and her partner, he's like a sugar daddy, you know. Just by looking at the information that we get, this is what you surmise, right? But to be honest with you, as I said to one of your researchers when I text him, Would you not give her a couple of million and tell her to feck off over to Nepal somewhere and build an office?
But with the problems she's had, obviously, you know, that she's had alcohol problems and everything else.
Yeah.
I suppose he's thinking to himself, if I give her a few million, you know, she's going to end up back on the alcohol.
No, but, you know,
but what I would do is I would set up a business for her. And I would say, here's it.
Charity work in a really deprived country like Nepal to make sure that children like her do not end up abused and used, or the children in India that are picked up off the streets and raped or killed by gangs down in Brazil. She should dedicate her life to looking after children and say, do you know what? I'm alive. I can do this. I'm going to stop children doing what happened to me. I'm going to stop it happening to them. But what does she come out with her warped mind after all the drink and the drugs? I want to go on the movies. I want to be shagged every night by a big gang of fellas and I'm going to be famous. What a terrible existence for a human being.
And yeah, she said she's already... She's doing solo porn movies at the moment. I'm assuming she just does them on her own mobile phone and sells
them
online.
You know yourself, there's always going to be somebody out there making a video and it'll come up online and she can say, oh, she likes
both. But when I tell you, this is so much more popular than I have ever thought about. Aisling was telling me about this a while ago. Now, I'm obviously not in with the scene, but there are girls online. I don't know whether Aisling is free there. She'll explain it better than I do. Hold on a second. Aisling, what's the name of that thing where these girls online take their clothes off for fellas?
Yeah, so it's a website called OnlyFans. And it's basically... It's Irish girls now. Which?
Irish girls.
Yeah, Irish girls all over the world. It started in America predominantly and now it's kind of seeped over here. And it's like kind of an Instagram, I suppose, account kind of basis. And what these girls do is they will put their photos up on there, whether they be, you know, half naked, semi naked, you know, kind of provocative poses.
Yeah.
Some of them do videos and they make a lot of money.
So guys pay them then to send them photographs or videos of them in the
Yeah, so it's a subscription service that they would do. I think it's like they do like it's $6 a month or $10 or whatever. And basically, you know, they'll obviously get their unlimited content that the girls put up online. And also what the girls will probably do, like they'll tease them with other photos. And there's one particular girl that I follow and she's 19 years old, right? And she has been on it for 9 months. And guess how much she's made?
How much?
Over 200 grand.
Wow.
In 9 months. See, and this is the problem, Morris. You know, that's attractive.
Quick money,
and it's attractive.
And you know what's surprising me about what Aisling said? The amount of perverts that are out there that would do that, that have the money to go and do that. I'm just telling you how sick a society is.
Oh, yeah. And that's 200 grand tax free, by the way, probably.
Yeah, and she's only 19.
19.
9 months.
Yeah.
Terrible, isn't it?
Oh, she could be a millionaire in a few years.
I know.
And maybe less if she becomes very popular at what she's doing. And she's 19. I mean, I want to know who her parents are at 19 years of age. Or maybe they're proud of her. Maybe her parents are saying, this is great.
Listen, Niall, I wouldn't be surprised if half them girls that you're talking about are already working for pimps. And a lot of them walking them out on the street, you have them locked in rooms doing video performances.
Mm.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, but what do you say to people and say, well, Niall and Morris, you're two old codgers, two old fogies. No. I mean, we're moralising over what they're doing and there's nothing wrong with it.
Every man that has a daughter wants his daughter to grow up and be a princess and marry a prince. Anybody that settles for less is a tosser.
So you want your daughter to do well?
Why wouldn't you?
Well, okay, well, they'll argue, well, I am doing well, I'm just taking my clothes off to do well.
Morally, you're not doing well. Morally, you're a slut in the gutter.
Right, okay.
What you're doing. That's the way I see it.
Okay, well, that's your opinion. Stay there for a second. Yeah, Derianne, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Derianne?
Yeah, hi, Niall. Yeah,
I don't want to make this sexist, by the way, because guys can do it too, but there's less guys doing it than girls, obviously.
Mm. Well, it has to be true if it's a porn movie.
Mm. Well,
so
yeah.
A lot of guys,
well, by the way, in the porn industry, primarily in America, the porn industry, women get paid an awful lot more than men.
Well, well, that must be the only job.
It is probably one of the only jobs. Yeah. There's more demand for women than men, and they get paid substantially more than men.
Yeah, but anyway,
multiples of what men get paid.
But let's get back to Spielberg and his daughter. Yeah. His daughter had problems at 11 years of age. Now, hello, alarm bells, alarm bells, alarm bells. If my daughter had problems at 11 years of age and ended up being anorexic, alcoholic and whatever else, I swear to God, that's the last industry I'd allow her go near.
When you say allow her, she's 23. There's nothing really he can do about it.
No, it's not that I have, you know, permission to let her go near it. But surely I would have been in her life to make sure that if she'd been involved in all these other issues before she got to that age, that she'd never even think of having to step into that industry. And I know I really...
So are we saying that all the girls, primarily girls who are in the sex industry, there are some men, but primarily girls, are you saying that all their parents are irresponsible? Or all their parents took their eye off the ball?
That no, I think a lot of the girls make up their own minds, but in this instance I'm saying you know, if from 11 years of age a child has issues and then ends up with a 47-year-old and then wants to go into this industry to impress her father who already make billions, yeah, there's something radically wrong. Because she'd probably go off.
Well, she said she doesn't want to rely on her parents for financial support.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. She doesn't want to rely on her parents. Like, you need your parents. If she went through all the therapy she went through, anorexia, alcoholism and God knows what else, she needs her parents. If she goes into that industry after coming out from all those issues, she's going to end up on coke. She's going to end up dead.
Well, I mean, I hope not. Let's move away from her for a moment. If that was your daughter, and, you know, and forget about the problem that this girl has had problems, right? Ignore that for the moment, because not every girl that goes into the sex industry has had a bad childhood, right? So let's say your daughter came to you. Let's say she was in her second or third year in college. And she said, oh, you know, Mandy in college was telling me she's making a bomb, stripping at night or working as a pole dancer or working as a prostitute or working in the porn industry. She's already made 300 grand and she's only in it a year. I think I'm going to give it a go.
Well, I'd have to open her eyes up to some things I've seen in my life with girls who went into that industry. For instance, there was one girl I met in London. When I happened to be working over there a number of years ago, and she was on the street, she was in this beautiful fur coat, and she was roaring crying, and I went over to see what was wrong with her, and she'd no clothes underneath that fur coat, and the next thing, the pimp appeared out of nowhere, threatening me, because I was trying to look after her. You know, you have to come up and give them the facts of what really goes on. And that girl, she was crying her eyes out, hoping that I would have been able to help her. But the pimp came and dragged her by the hair away in front of me. Now, this was in London. This is a true story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm not doubting you for a minute.
So I would not.
But I mean, see, are we? What you see? What we're doing here now is, I mean, you're like me. You're kind of a little bit older and more conservative. Morris, who was
I'm
on
not
a few
conservative, months. By the way.
Oh, well, you are a bit conservative. Morris was on earlier, and he's a kind of older guy as well. We're all a little bit older, right? We're not younger people, and maybe we're projecting our morals, our sexual morals, onto this story and onto younger people. I mean, we had a whole campaign there for abortion a while ago, and the slogan, as you well know, is "My body, my choice."
Yeah.
So, I mean, if a young girl wants to go out and she believes this is the way she can make money, and that's her skill, you know, maybe she's good at it, maybe she's worked hard to have a good body, and she wants to strip in front of a camera or, you know, appear in porn movies, and she can make a lot of money out of it. Who are we to judge, I suppose, is the question.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying I would judge, but the instant, and I mean, I saw, by the way, a lot more than that in the 70s in Thailand, but that instant was 20 years ago, and I was 20 years younger. So, you know, I wasn't some sort of a prude back then, no more than I am now. I'm just saying, you have to look at the whole facts. You have to look at where are the pimps, what's really going on, who's getting the money. And at the end of the day, 100 or 200,000...
Yeah, but hang on. I mean, I agree with you. Yeah, and you don't want to see anybody being exploited. But we all work, well, most of us, work for an employer who's making money on off our backs. Prostitution is no different, or porn movies is no different.
Well,
the person who makes the money in the porn movie is the producer, right? But the actors get paid, particularly women get paid very good money. In prostitution, yes, the pimp makes a percentage. But in saying that, I work in a radio station, you know, people work in shops. They're not the ones making all the money. I'm not the one making all the money here. You know, the investors in this radio station are the ones making the money. I get a wage, a salary. So what I'm saying to you is that applies to every job. It's just morally the way we're looking at it.
No, it's not morally. You see, if you look at the girls in that industry, and all you have to do is look at all the girls that have been brought into this country from abroad, it's not a simple...
Well, as long as nobody's been forced to do it against their will, by the way, because that's trafficking, human trafficking, which is against the law, and any man or woman who traffics another person for prostitution should go to jail for the rest of their lives, and everybody agrees with that. I'm talking about willing participants, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but the willing participants are not, they are naive. They do not know what's out there in the world. I mean, once they put their porn pictures up on, you know, YouTube, or well, it was probably not YouTube, wherever they put them, they are slaves.
Hold on, stay there for a second, because I want to go to Joe, and I want to go to Charlotte Rose as well in a second. Joe, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Joe?
Hi, how are you?
Joe, I mean, this story has caused a bit of, I suppose, conversation today. The Steven Spielberg's daughter, she's 23, and she's told her father, who was one of the richest men in the world, that she wants to be a sex worker. She wants to work as a stripper and work in porn movies.
It's a choice. First of all, there's one big problem around sex workers. There's a lot of stigma, and one of the reasons that is so dangerous is because they are forced underground. They cannot go to the police. For example, the laws around foster incest in the United States that came in the name of stopping human trafficking, the only thing they did is forced sex workers even more underground than they already were.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what causes the danger.
But that doesn't create the stigma.
No.
There's always been, I suppose, a moral stigma.
But creates the danger.
But I know you don't have a daughter, but you have a son, okay? And he's still quite young, right? But if you did have a daughter, right? Or if you had gone to your mother when you were, I know you're not that old, but when you were 23.
Listen, I'm going to be very honest. I do pole dancing for fitness.
Yeah.
But if I ever was stuck and had to take my clothes off for money so I could feed my child, I would have no problem with it.
But you're talking about doing something out of desperation.
But
Aisling talked
a
minute ago about a girl that she knows who made 200 grand in 9 months stripping online. So, I mean, if you, could you honestly go to your mother and say, "Mom, I'm going to be a sex worker. I'm going to be in porn movies. I'm going to be a stripper," whatever it is in the sex industry. Do you think your mother would be okay with that? Would she support you like Steven Spielberg is supporting his daughter?
I don't think my mother would approve because my mother is conservative. My mother is conservative, so I don't think she would exactly approve. No, I don't think
okay,
so.
Okay, so she'd hit the ceiling, yeah. Okay.
But still, it's my life, my body, my choice. The problem with sex work, it's work. I get it's not for everyone. It's not. And people have to stop putting their own morals and their own projection and views of sex and sex work onto the people that do it. Instead, what people should be doing is having them have rights so they don't get abused by pimps, so they can have their own money, so they can thrive doing what they want to do.
Okay, well, stay there a second because I want to go to Charlotte Rose, who's otherwise known as the First Lady of Sex. Charlotte, good afternoon, good evening to you. How are you doing?
I'm very well, and yourself?
Good, Charlotte. Now, I mean, Charlotte, you are a sex worker.
I am, by choice. I love what I do. I've got a Bachelor in Science degree in hospitality management that I used to teach at college, and I chose to stop that profession and go into the profession I'm in now.
Okay, would it be all right to ask you, without being too rude, how old you are?
I'm 39.
Okay, so...
But don't tell anyone.
No, but it's kind of like a professional footballer. There's a kind of lifespan to your career, isn't there?
No, not necessarily. You know, you get lots of women at all different ages doing this work. It depends on the person.
Yeah, but I suppose the younger you are, and I suppose from a physical point of view, you know, depending on the figure and everything, it's easier to get work, I imagine.
Oh, you're being a stereotype.
I know. I'm not. No, if I'm being an asshole, just tell me. But I'm just...
There's a need for everything. There are women, men, anybody who takes part in sex work, are beautiful people, and somebody will always find the beauty in someone.
Okay, so there are guys out there who like the older woman, I suppose. Yeah, when people get old. By the way, I'm not suggesting 39 is old. I'm suggesting, you know, when you get to 50 or 60, how long can it go on for? That's the point I was making.
Well, it just depends on their body and their health. It's their choice at the end of the day. But, you know, there are niches out there of younger men who want particularly elderly ladies. Mm-hmm. And if they want to, then let them crack off with it, as long as it doesn't harm a third party. Who's to say they can't?
Okay, but now I don't want to know if you have children or not. That's your own business. But
I have a daughter.
All right. So how would you feel if she came to you at 20 and said, you know what, Mom? By the way, does she know what you do? She does, I'm assuming.
Yes. So all my family know, my parents, my children, my brothers and sisters.
And what was the reaction of your mom and dad to what you do?
So, as long as I'm safe, they support everything that I do. As long as I do it in a professional manner and I take care of myself, then they're happy. They know that I'm safe. The only thing that makes me unsafe at the moment is, of course, the law. But, you know, working alone is perfectly legal, but if I want to work with someone for safety, then I'm breaking the law, which is very damaging.
Yeah, well, of course, the laws in this country were changed there 2 years ago, which even makes it worse. And it makes it even worse, yeah.
Yes, it does. You're right.
At one stage, you could do it in the privacy of an apartment, but now you can't even do that anymore. You're not allowed to buy or sell sex in this country anymore. Although I can see those laws changing again in the next couple of years, to be honest with you.
Well, I hope so, because it's not just the sex workers that's penalised. It's also people with disabilities that may only use sex workers as their only human interaction, you know?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, interestingly enough and ironically enough, those new laws were brought in 2 years ago by a woman, which I just wanted to mention.
Who had no knowledge of sex work.
Absolutely not. She was under a lot of pressure from different groups. Okay, but getting back to what we're talking about. I mean,
my daughter, yes.
Yeah, your daughter. If your daughter came to you at, you know, 18 or 20 and said, you know, Mom, I want to go into the industry. I want to be in porn movies. I want to be a stripper. Whatever part or aspect of sex work she wanted to do, you'd be fully supportive. Would you not be a bit disappointed?
No, of course not. It's her choice. I mean, she's already come to me saying that she wants to do foot fetish work and sell photos of her feet. And, you know, I sat down with her and said, this is exactly what you'd need to do, uploading photos, things like that. So for me, you know, it doesn't matter what she wants to do to earn money, to earn a living. As long as I can ensure that she's safe in what she's doing, then, as far as I'm concerned, she's more than welcome to do it. It's her choice, her body, her right.
Okay, because foot fetish is a big thing, I think, isn't it? Wouldn't be my bag.
You know, I don't do much foot fetish, so I wouldn't know. But
I'm not into feet. Feet never appeal to me, by the way. I can't even look at my own feet. I mind somebody else's. I have a thing about women's feet, by the way. I don't like women's feet in shoes where you can see their toes.
Open toes.
No, no.
Do you know what makes it worse? that is when they wear tights with open toe shoes. That's
stop. Okay, but okay. I mean, have you ever been in all the years you've been in the industry? What year? When did you start? How old were you when you started in the industry?
So I started off when I was 17 doing modelling, and then I modelled leather and PVC wear, which when I then went into a dominatrix when I was 18. And then I started escorting later on, because I used to be a teacher. And the problem was is that all my hours was going into marking and managing my classes and things like that. I wasn't spending time with my children, and they were quite young at the time. So I came away from that and thought, how can I ensure that I've got a good quality of life, spending quality time with my kids, and enjoy my own personal life, as I am very highly sexed, and sex work was the perfect solution to me.
So you enjoy, would you consider yourself an infomaniac?
No, you know, I
just enjoy sex, okay.
I enjoy myself, yes.
Okay, and can you honestly say, with all the guys that you've been with throughout the years, do you enjoy the experience yourself? I mean, what's the most of it? And please don't think any question I'm asking you is being insulting. If it is, by the way,
no,
I do
you can ask me any question you want.
Okay, but okay, so what's the most, what's your busiest night? How many guys have you been with in one night?
Gosh, I've got to try and think now. Probably about six.
I mean, can you honestly say that you couldn't honestly...
all day and night.
Yeah, but you couldn't honestly enjoy having sex six times a day with six different guys, could you?
Well, let's just say I orgasm with every single one of them, if that's what you mean.
Do you?
Of course I do. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah, okay, well,
if I'm going to do something I enjoy, I'm going to make sure I enjoy it.
Yeah, but does something that you're doing for a living all the time not become mechanical? Like, for example, the gynecologist, right? So, you know, I get excited, obviously, with my partner, you know, when I see, you know, her vagina or whatever, right? But a gynecologist, he's looking at them all day. So when he's looking at them all day, to him, it's just not the same anymore, I imagine.
Yeah,
now, maybe I'm wrong, but...
But he's not tasting them, he's not smelling them, he's not feeling them, he's just looking at them. And everybody, every person is different. So somebody who walks in my door, the next person's not going to be the same as that person. It's always something new. It's always something exciting. You know, I could be doing role play. I could be a dominatrix. I could be doing food sex. There's so many different...
Food
so
much sex? Well, what's
yeah,
food?
A bit of splushing.
Bit of what?
Bit of splushing.
What's that?
It's where you get baked beans, chocolate, custard sauce, and you just smear it all over each other's body and roll around.
And lick it off and stuff like that. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, okay, okay. All right, okay. And what's the most unusual thing you've ever been asked to do?
Am I allowed to say this on the radio?
Well, it's after 9 o'clock. You're grand. Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so a gentleman walked through my door with a box, and he said that he'd got me a gift, and I actually thought it was something for me. But when I opened it up, before I opened it fully up, he said, you're going to need these and test me some garden gloves. And then when I opened it up, it was a box full of nettles. So he wanted me to use the gloves to rub the nettles on his balls and then kick him.
Oh, no!
Ah.
What a clown!
And so it's weird because I was...
Did you do it?
Doing, yeah, of course I did. And every time I kicked him and he went down, he would stand right back up again. And I was looking at him with just a look of inquisitiveness.
And when you're kicking him hard?
Doing this.
Were you kicking him hard?
Well, I bruised the top of my foot because of it, yeah.
Oh, gee. And you were kicking him in the nuts, like, really hard over and over again?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, it got to a point where I did it that many times, I had to start going for a run-up.
I have this vision in my head now of you running at him like a rugby ball and kicking him. And have you ever refused to do anything? Is there anything that people have asked you to do that you've ever refused to do?
Yeah, I don't do hard sports. I don't do that at all.
Okay, so to explain to people what hard sports is, that's where people start pooing on each other.
It is. Well, not on each other, but, you know, in front of each other or things like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have me vomiting all over you if you did anything like that. Okay, but you would do water sports, you would do other types of sex as well if they wanted it.
No, I'm only vaginal. I don't do anything other because I've always kept that personal. But
okay.
Water sports, yeah, I've got no problem with that at all.
And do you have a boyfriend or a husband?
My partner passed away in July of last year.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that.
No, yeah, but he was very supportive of my work, very supportive of me.
And see, here's the thing now, right? I mean, if I was with a girl who was doing that, it would be very hard to distance myself from that when I then get into bed with her, because I'd be thinking she slept with five guys before she's got into bed with me right now. Is that not a bit weird for him, for a partner? Because I'm sure in the industry, the girls find it difficult to have a relationship.
I mean, I can't speak for other girls. I can only speak for me. But my relationship with Colin was very, very loving.
It wouldn't matter whether I had an active day at work or not. I'd always have good quality time for him. And it's a very different experience with somebody that you love. You know, you can have fun with somebody, but that romantic love connection that you have with somebody is always very different.
But see, for you, getting out of that industry, whether you wanted to or not, would be very hard because, look, there's no two ways about it. There's good money in the industry, provided you're popular and you're busy, I suppose. There is good money in the industry, and you could make quite a substantial amount of money. And, of course, the revenue, don't have to know an awful lot about it.
Well, to be honest, I haven't done much work since Colin passed away last year. I just concentrate on my radio show, which brings in my money that I'm able to pay the bills. Quick plug, Rose Talk Sex on a Sunday, Monday, Wednesday.
All right.
There you go.
Okay, and where is that? Where is that on?
It's on rosetalksex.com. It's an internet-based show. You can listen to it on two different streams, or you can watch me live on Periscope TV /Rose Talk Sex. Just Rose Talk Sex, there's so much on there about that.
What I do for people who want to connect with you, I will get Aisling to get your thing, and we'll tag you in her Twitter account and what have
you. Yeah, okay. Please do. That would be brilliant.
Okay, she said to me she's just done it already anyway. All right, okay. But okay, so do you see, I mean, where do you, how long more do you see yourself doing this for? Or can you see a point where you can retire? Because I'm assuming you're making quite a bit of money. Well, at least you were anyway, maybe until your partner passed away, maybe not quite as much now, you're just getting by. But, I mean, can you see yourself retiring? I mean, do sex workers retire sooner than most of us because they can make a nice little nest egg?
They did a long time ago when you were able to save cash, whereas now a lot of stuff goes through the books. So I know this probably sounds funny, it's more legitimate now with people paying tax rather than back then when it was just petty cash sort of thing. So people are looking at sex work as an actual career rather than just a sideline, which is great. But the problem that we have is until the law changes and society changes the ideology of the stigmatization that sex workers get, it's always going to be seen as a immoral role. But it's great that there are more sex workers that are standing out, being vocal and professionalizing the industry, because that's what we need. And it's brilliant for people like yourself to be able to start making conversation and bringing up these topics that the general public needs to hear.
And what about people what about people who moralise over it? I mean, I've already had callers on tonight who said, no, if my daughter did this, God, no, I wouldn't encourage that. Our first caller said, absolutely not. It would be disgusting. He would be disgusted and disappointed with his daughter if she came to him and said she wanted to go into the sex industry.
Do you know, I'm more thrilled at the fact that my daughter can actually have this conversation with me. The fact that I've brought my daughter up in a loving family environment, that she can be open and honest and ask for my opinion on this. I think for anybody who says, oh, God, no, I wouldn't want that, their daughters or their children will probably already know this. And if they are going to do it, they're going to do it behind their back. And me personally, I would rather have that upfront honesty from my children.
Mm. I'm looking at some of the texts, by the way, coming in. Somebody says, that's a whole new meaning to the Nutcracker Suite. Oh, this is in relation to your man getting kicked in the nuts. And Maura says, I'm sprinkling holy water on the radio as we speak. Well, okay, but getting back to the actual the sex part, I mean, you've read the story today about Steven Spielberg's daughter. I mean, yes. I think this girl has had a lot of problems throughout her life. She's had anorexia, borderline personality disorder, alcoholism when she was 11 years of age, for God's sake. And now she wants to go into the sex industry, and she has a partner who's 47, over twice her age. I mean, I think Steven Spielberg is a very wealthy man. She's already uploaded videos by Pornhub. Do you think he's lost control? Has she just lost control of this girl?
No, well, I don't think so. I mean, she's got her own reasons why she wants to. Maybe she just wants that independency. But you've also got to look at, there's a lot of people with various mental health illnesses or disabilities that choose sex work because it suits their flexibility and their hours. You know, so it may be that whether or not she's got any type of mental illness, that this job suits her for what she wants to do. People think that, you know, the whole stereotype, the pretty woman element of either a hooker on the street or somebody that's drug addicted. But there's just as many people that are drug addicted or have mental health issues working in banking, working in...
Of course, yeah.
You know, but it's just because in our industry that's seen as the lowest, you know, the fallen woman, that degraded moral perspective on women. It's just really, really sad that that's only seen as it. And just to make people who are listening aware, there's a massive difference between trafficking and prostitution.
Yeah, well, I know, unfortunately, in the last debate 2 years ago, the two were kind of put side by side by certain NGOs in this country, which gave the impression that every prostitute or every, should I say, sex worker in this country was kind of coerced into it some way, which isn't the case. But a lot of people, what was the inverted commas, the happy hooker, as they called it. In other words, the person who wanted to do it or was quite happy to do it. Do names like prostitute, hooker, escort, I know you'd prefer to use the word sex worker, but those names, are they insulting?
No, I don't care. I mean, I don't care. I mean, probably people do. But, you know, I think, I mean, I support the English Collective of Prostitutes, and we're reclaiming that word. You know, people try to insult us with words of degradation, but we're taking those words back. We don't care. It's just a word, you know. Mm. And the worst thing is the majority of people that say these words don't even know what the actual words mean. You know, you can prostitute yourself by being a builder, you know.
Well, I'm prostituting myself, right? Exactly. Well, I'm prostituting my thoughts. That's what I'm doing. It's a different type of prostitution. I use my mouth. Well, mind you use your mouth as well, but for different purposes.
Love it.
But also, can I ask as well, the internet has obviously changed your business immensely, and you've seen that change over the last, God knows how many, probably 20 years or so. So the internet, has it made it a lot easier, or has it fragmented your business and you're making less money because so many other people are doing it now?
Well, the industry is saturated, I will say that. But for me, who's been around a long time, I've been able to establish a good client base. I mean, the good thing is the internet has given a larger reach, but it's also given an opportunity for people to be less honest about themselves when it comes to clients. You know, I mean, because I've done lots of interviews about sex work in England and things. It wasn't my intention to come out and open to the public about what I do. I was threatened and blackmailed by a man who thought that it was okay to be able to treat a sex worker the way that he did. And I thought, if anybody's going to make me out in the public, it's going to be me. So that's when I did the documentary with Rupert Everett called Love for Sale. And, you know, it's these sort of things that, unfortunately, the internet has given more easier options to be able to do scare tactics amongst sex workers. So we have different organisations like National Ugly Mugs, Client Eye App, that give, and Smoochie, of course, that give added protection, online protection for sex workers. And it's all about protection at the end of the day. You know, the choice that comes down to sex workers, people who want to, like myself, or people who have to, out of benefit sanctions, out of poverty. And those are the people that we need to be helping to give exit strategies on how to leave the industry safely. The people who choose to do it, we need better safety options to keep, to allow us the ability, to our human right to be able to earn and provide for our families.
That's a very well made point. I'm looking at a lot of the questions, by the way, coming in. Some I wouldn't dare ask you, but what if the customers? Okay, there's a lot of questions here about STIs. For example, somebody says, "What if a customer is covered in STIs?" Well, I'm assuming you would just tell them to go away if it's that obvious if they're covered in STIs.
Well, I don't offer any unprotected services, and I have my right hand plays with me, my left hand plays with them, so I don't even put myself into a position to do that. Mm-hmm. And anybody that comes along and says that sex workers are riddled with STIs need to be re-educated.
Well, the point I made on the radio going back 2 years ago when we talked about this in the debate was that I said, actually, you've probably less chance of catching something from a sex worker than you do off the girl on a Saturday night in the nightclub.
That's absolutely spot on.
All right. Okay. Some of the other questions in here coming in here. Does she mainly work in the UK? Well, you do work in the UK mainly, isn't she? Yes, of course.
I do, yeah. But if somebody wants to take me on holiday, I'm game.
Is Brexit going to affect business?
Traveling? I don't know.
I don't think. Has she ever felt like her life was in danger? Have you ever felt? Have you ever had a client that you thought, I'll be lucky if I get out of this alive?
Yes and no, not to the extreme of the lie, but I was working with another girl for safety because when I tour around the UK, I like to work with another girl because it's, you know, it's very isolating being on your own and you are at risk.
So, by the way, in Ireland, if you're working with another girl, the definition of that is a brothel. But I'm just...
Yes, that's the same here in England.
Yeah.
So I think these two guys knew that because we were offering two girl services and they came in. They paid and they had their service and then they got really abusive and threatening. They, you know, they're waving their hands about, spat on the floor, smashed up the room a little bit to get their money back. We were robbed. And the worst thing is that because it is classified as a brothel, then if we reported it, we would have been penalised and arrested for a criminal offence.
So you can't even report it?
No. Well, you can report it to an organisation called National Ugly Mugs that will do it anonymously for you.
Okay.
But the problem is that, you know, you've got to think of sex workers that aren't so out there and aren't so confident. They will probably never report it because they don't want the hassle coming back to their family because they want anonymity for how they work.
Right, okay.
So until the decriminalisation comes in, we haven't got that added protection.
Okay, somebody else says, what about a code of secrecy? Has she ever had sex with anybody famous? And is she going to bring out a tell-all book?
No, I can't. I am going to be producing a book. I'm up to chapter 5 at the moment. It's an autobiography. It's very interesting.
See, I suppose for celebrities, isn't that a fear for celebrities? I mean, Wayne Rooney found that out the hard way. But isn't that a fear for celebrities, I suppose, or people who are, you know, in public figures, maybe? If they're in the know and they go to Charlotte Rose, there's a fear that, you know, she might tell all.
Well, the thing is, you know, you've got to look at the general public. The majority of the industry know me, but the general public don't really know who I am. So I can quite happily walk down the street. I sometimes get the odd look, and then a guy will look down at his phone, look up at me, look down at his phone, look up at me, and then he'll smile at me, and then I kind of know he knows. But, you know, it's not as though I'm the most famous sex worker in the world that everybody's going to know what I look like. You know, I'm not Stormy Daniels.
Well, by the way, we're giving away a trip to Orlando tomorrow morning, by the way, the radio station. Somebody wants to know, if I win the trip to Orlando tomorrow, can Charlotte come with me?
Absolutely.
I think Charlotte would probably take you up on that offer very quickly.
I will.
Yeah. What did Charlotte's parents think? Well, I think we've already covered that.
You know what? Can I tell you what my dad said? This is what my dad's saying, and this is absolutely magical. I told him that I was a sex worker, and he said, right, now, will this affect my tomatoes and my garden from growing next year? And I said, no. And he said, right, don't worry about it then. I said, brilliant. That's the liberalisation that I grew up with my family. We're loved and, you know, we can be open and honest with our family members. And I think that it doesn't matter what a child or a parent or anybody does in the family, as long as they're in a safe enough environment to be able to be open and honest enough to tell you, I think that's the most rewarding factor.
Somebody else says, they say nymphomaniacs don't actually enjoy sex. They more or less let their search for sexual gratification get out of hand. That comes in from Denise. Well, I don't know, because I don't think I've ever spoken to a nymphomaniac.
Well, a lot of nymphomaniacs don't even reach orgasm, so...
Yeah, they're just doing... It's just mechanical sex, really, isn't it? It's like drug addicts when they're not actually enjoying the drugs anymore. They're just doing it to feed the habit, I suppose. And I'm looking at some more of the questions here. Somebody says, can she put together an IKEA shelf? And that's what's
that got to do? Oh, what, sorry?
No, don't even ask that. Okay, we had the customer with the STIs. We had that one already. There's another one else, more or less the same. Now, in fairness, that lovely lady was not an alcoholic or anorexic, etc. It's very different from the story with Steven Spielberg. Well, yes, of course, she wasn't any of those things. And I did mention that earlier on, that Steven Spielberg's daughter has her own set of problems. Another person says, I'm a sex worker part-time out of choice. I'm a male, but I can't come on and chat as I don't want to be recognised, but I can answer questions here. Very old views from people on nowadays. That comes in from Mick. But there's another thing.
Hi, Mick.
Is there many men in the industry? Because there isn't really that same need, I suppose, because generally speaking, if a woman wants sex, you know, a night out, for example, she can just go out and get it, can she?
Well, I've hired a male sex worker because I just didn't want the hassle of going through all the bullshit that you do when you go out. I wanted that professional service.
So you did hire a lad?
I've hired a guy, yeah.
So a sex worker hired a sex worker?
Yeah, definitely. I want that professional service. And, you know, going out and meeting a guy in a bar who's had too many to drink, she's probably not even going to get his penis up hard and ready for what I want.
Right, okay. So, and there'll be strings attached to that as well. He's going to be ringing you the next day and bothering you. Yeah, so you didn't want
that. Yeah, I don't want that at all. Yeah,
okay.
No.
So somebody else wants to know, is she exclusively heterosexual?
No, I will enjoy a company of a woman. Yes, I enjoy the company of a woman. It's lovely. It's lovely to share couples.
Okay, I was going to say that. Do you get many couples coming to you? Like,
I do. Yeah.
And are they? Have you got couples coming to you? Like, and this is the first time they've had a threesome, and they're kind of a bit nervous and they don't know what to be doing.
Yeah. Well, this is why the professionalism of the booking would be that. Well, if a guy phones me up, I always have to speak to the partner to make sure that she is okay with it.
And she's in on it, yeah, of course, yeah.
And then when I get there, we sit down together and we go through all the rules type thing of all the do's and don'ts, because there are things that...
And what are the... What's the do's and don'ts?
It depends. I mean, sometimes the woman is happy for me to be there, but she just wants me to concentrate on her.
Right, she doesn't want you having sex with her husband, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and, but there are times where she said all she wants to do is she wants to, you know, either sit on my face whilst he's having sex with me. So it really does depend. I mean, these are the things that you need to talk about prior to the booking, of course, to make sure that you're all sorted. And
always reminds me of that Monty Python. Aware. That Monty Python song. Do you remember? Sit on my face and tell me that
tell
you love
me. Tell
me
that you love me.
My
face and tell me I love you.
I love, what's the rest of the words? When I'm between your thighs. You blow me away. Yeah. That's it. Okay. Listen, it's been wonderful talking to you, Charlotte.
And you.
And thanks. And I'm sure we'll talk again at some point. All right.
Yeah, keep my number. And if you need me, let me know.
All right. Okay. We mean on the air, by the way, obviously. All right. Yeah. Yeah, all right. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Charlotte Rose. Lovely to talk to you then. She's named the First Lady of Sex. Another person said, see now. And a person says, sex is hard, so whatever that means. Love is more and an experience, whatever that means. I have no idea what that means. Somebody else says, "Now, are there many nymphomaniacs in this country?" I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. I don't go around checking.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.